Hi, I'm Sam Stokes. Today, let's investigate servo motors, how they're made, and how you might want to use them. Also, we'll build a super simple project that uses two magnets you can use at home or fishing. This is the Maker Show. What's in the box? Arduino? An Uno style Arduino, and a servo mechanism which contains a servo motor, the arm that is attached to a magnet using hot glue, and the purpose is to use a very simple process to demonstrate how to use a servo mechanism in your project. Now, this servo mechanism, it could be replaced by a stepper motor, but its configuration allows me to know how the angle that it will move to, and by doing so, this allows me to set up so that the magnet at the end of this string can be dropped without having to put a hole through the watertight vessel. This allows the collection of data like salinity of the seawater, clarity, as well as temperature. This is a needed component of helping us understand the weather patterns in the world today. The ocean, especially close to the coast, is important to humanity. Servo motors. As you've seen, you can use them for very simple things to very complex things. Airbus uses large servo motors to control their ailerons, flaps, and other control systems on an aircraft. So they can go from very tiny to very big. And we're dealing with the micro servos here. Micro servos usually consist a motor, a gearing for the motor to interact with the outside world, and a potentiometer, as well as a control system. Usually they have a cable that comes out of them. Sometimes they're pigtail. You have to add the pigtail yourself. So servo questions. Can servo motors hold position with no signal? Now at the end of this briefing, we'll come back and answer these questions. Do servos use a potentiometer for movement feedback? Do servos use an encoding disc for movement feedback? On most servo motors, the signal wire is red. And what television show did a character named Servo play on in the US? Let's talk a little bit about the motors and how to envision the way that the encoding disc or the position system works, and then take a look at what's inside of a servo. So first off, on the right is a motor, and it's almost completely opposite of the type of motor we typically use inside of a servo, but it serves a purpose to explain the difference between a brushed DC motor and a brushless DC motor. Now both of them can be used for servos, it's just typically brushless motors are used in servos currently. In a brushed motor, the brush is represented by the item that starts with the plus and goes over to the minus. The shaft goes through it, and there's a way that this sets up a process so that the electromagnets that make up the armature can switch magnetic polarity. In this case, permanent magnets are used as the field, magnetic field, for the motor. In modern servo motors, the field is made up of electromagnets that are switched using a system made up of transistors or a linear type of comes to mind. There's some other ones out there. So the armature has a substrate that's embedded with the magnets, and then the switching is done electronically with the field coil electromagnets. This saves money and can create some screaming fast servos, and thus the reason we need the gear down for them. Now attaching this to the shaft and having the appropriate optical system to count the number of times that each one of these little black items have passed a scanner can help the system know exactly how to turn the mechanism. Now this is important if you're trying to save weight on, let's say, an Airbus aircraft or a Boeing aircraft or a rocket. And it's even important to your RC control things. And we'll talk about this in a few minutes. But the number of degrees that the motor has turned is counted by the little black dots by some system. Now, potentiometers work fairly much the same way, but they have require less items to tell where they're at. You simply measure the resistance, and that tells you where the shaft is at on the from the motor. Now, there can be where there's a thing called a wiper that moves across the potentiometer as the motor rotates, and when these wear out, then you lose your ability to tell precisely where the shaft is at. Usually not a problem. These are very inexpensive and easy to replace. Now let's take a look at the servo. You'll notice there's a silver little thing inside the servo. That's the motor, and it's attached to gearing so that it's not coming up to speed and driving this at 1,000 RPM, which if you're doing a helicopter might be fine, but if you're doing a car and you're just turning the front wheels, that would be a bad thing. So then below it, you can see a black glob. This is the control system and the potentiometer. Part of the control system is to connect to the cable. There are three wires on the cable: a red orange, which is for positive voltage, a brown black, which is for ground, and a yellow or some other color for signal, although I've only seen yellow for signal. So how do I command the servos? Well, these servos use pulse width modulation, and they require a period of 20 milliseconds between leading edge, and then after the leading edge is the amount of time that sets up the servo commands. So that time to make it go counterclockwise might be 1.7 to 2.0 milliseconds. To make it go clockwise, 0.7 to 1.0 milliseconds, and to keep it centered would be 1.5 milliseconds. So pulse width modulation has been around a long time. It's dependent on these rising edges, and that's what the period is. And then whatever the pulse is after that is what the system then uses as an input and then rotates the shaft to that point. Now, if the shaft is driving something heavy with a lot of inertia, that can take longer than you would expect. You must continuously send the signal for the servo to respond to it. A servo cannot hold position if it does not receive a command from the input. Let's talk about the programming. So we start off by including the servo, and then there's an object that we're going to call, a class object, and we're going to call it myServo. We're going to initialize one variable, an integer variable that's equal to 0. Then we're going to attach pin 8. Now I'm using pin 8 because I'm using the Grove system shield with the Arduino. It doesn't go to D8, D9. D9 is used in the sample. This is a sample directly from the Arduino store. Void loop. Now we're going to loop, and the looping speed varies from system to system. For processor 0 to 180, we're going to go 1 degree. And then we do this by writing whatever the position number is into my servo using the write function. We then delay 15 milliseconds because there's usually delays, mechanical delays, when you're dealing with actual physical things. Okay, so what are the electrical and mechanical considerations? The servo here is a commodity microserver. You can buy these for a couple bucks. If you buy a whole bunch of them, they may even go down to a dollar or so. So they're very inexpensive. They're very easy to work with, but we need to talk about a few of these items, which are important to understand that they're easy to understand. So the voltage is 4.8 to 6.0 volts. This means that they're designed to either work with four rechargeable batteries at 1.2 times 4 is 4.8, or chargeable batteries at 1.5, 4 times 1.5 is 6 volts. The speed is 60 degrees per second at 4.8 volts. You're not guaranteed the speed, that's just an estimate. Typical wires again, red or orange wire, positive voltage, black or brown wire, ground and yellow wire is signal. Just saying that again, get them wrong, and things could be bad. The important one is mechanical. The torque is 1.5 kilograms centimeters. So it means that at 1 centimeter away from the center of the shaft, the device will deliver 1.5 kilograms of force. Now, 1.5 kilograms of force is pretty good for a device that only weighs 8.6 grams. So you need to make sure that the device is securely anchored when using. Otherwise, you'll get vibrations, you'll get flip-flops, it won't work correctly, and then when you stop running it, you look into the box and everything looks okay. So make sure it's clear to you that this thing is rock solid, because 1.5 kilograms, that's what you're going to get, and that's the torque. Now the use angle, 160, as I mentioned earlier, these have stops inside of them. You can, absolutely, you're supposed to be able to break the stops. I don't know how to do that. But if you do, then you can have a continuous turning servo, which can be handy. And it's a very small device, so a 1-inch wood drill can actually create little holders for these devices in wood. So you drill a hole. It's 1 inch in English, in American measurements, or 2.4 centimeters or 24 millimeters. And then you kind of push the mechanism into the hole and you get a nice friction hold. Now you can really take advantage of that torque. Where do we use servo motors? Well, they're used in automobiles. Think about how your car switches from using external air to recirculating air in the cabin. It uses a servo motor to move the vane from one position to the other position. RC controlled vehicles like drones or cars use servos. Think about cars. A good RC control car uses a rack and pinion system where it's using a servo to move the wheels left or right for the turn. So a servo might go 45 degrees one way and then 45 degrees the other way. Pretty inexpensive, very precise controlling, and you can change the amount of turn or calibrate it so that it works better for you on the car. Drones use them for pitching and yawing the rotor blades. You would use a servo motor where there's a requirement for repeatable movement. Now, if you're being a scientist, you have to be able to accurately tell people what your experiment was, and then other people have to review it. So that's one thing. Now, if you want to use it in your garden, you can use it to open and close valves, either all the way or to positions in between, and you only use the water you need. Very important here in California. There are a lot of things you use your servo motor for, but usually having only one isn't enough. So make sure you have 5 or 6 working servos laying around your house. You'll find a lot of use for them. So the cost of a micro servo motor on Amazon, about $2 if you buy 12 of them. It's $3 if you buy 5 of them. And I think it's like $5 or $6 if you only buy one. So you're better off buying 12 and getting some friends to pay you for them. All right, wiring your Arduino to a servo. This is very simple. Fritzing was a little bit of an overkill. So if you do not have a Grove Shield, then you would use this wire list. To use the code as I wrote it, you take servo wire color yellow and connect it to Arduino Digital Wire 8. Servo wire color red or orange to 5-volt VDC, and servo wire color black or brown Arduino ground. Now you notice that I used a magnet. The magnet was hot glued to a stiff wire. Do not drill into any magnet. Do not use power tools of any sort with a magnet. It is dangerous. These are like ceramic devices under a lot of pressure. Plus, the powders and stuff are not good for human beings. So please do not drill into the magnet and don't use any power tools with it. The external magnet was hot glued to a stiff wire and then tied to the string. Make sure that the magnets attract each other before you apply the glue. You do this just by sticking the magnets together and then glue the outside faces of the magnets. If you're using the Grove Shield, and I use connector D8, you can use other connectors, but you need to make the appropriate adjustment to the software. Note, pins D9 and up are not available on the Grove Shield for Arduino. So here we are at the server questions. Can servo motors hold position with no signal? False. There is a type of motor that can. These are called stepper motors. They don't have any feedback. They count the number of poles inside of the motor, and the poles are each one of the electromagnets that are on the armature. Do servos use a potentiometer for movement feedback? Yes, true. Do servos use an encoding disc for movement feedback? Yes, true. On most servo motors, the signal wire is red. False. Red is for VCC. Yellow is the signal wire. What show had a character named Servo in the U.S.? Mystery Science Theater 3000. So in conclusion, the servo motor is one of the most used items in the ILT design process. Okay, that might have been a little over the top, but they're used quite frequently and you should know how to use them. Micro servo motors do not have to have an H-bridge or an L293. They can attach directly to the Arduino. However, there's a possibility because of the way that they're set up, they could surge and damage that output. So it's usually a good idea to have a transistor or some other device between the servo motor and the Arduino. Now, a servo motor can be very precise or repeatable. That's what precision is can I repeat the experiment precisely more than one time? And that's because it uses a closed loop process. And the closed loop either uses a potentiometer or an encoding disc. PWM, or pulse width modulation, has been around a while. Interesting to read the history and who actually made it the first time beyond the scope of this, but it's a very interesting story, and Hollywood's involved. So pulse width modulation is used to signal the servo motor to move. Now remember, 20 milliseconds between leading edge of the pulse to leading edge of the next pulse. Then the width of the pulse is what determines how the servo motor turns. Counterclockwise for a certain time range, clockwise for another time range, center for a third time range. 1 degree movements have other pulse widths. So the pulse width is very important. And then the Arduino processing class for servos is named servo.h. To find out more about how to program servos, you should pop that open and take a look at it. Rename it, include it in your libraries, and you can use it to experiment with how servos work. Didn't go into that in this case because it is C and it can be a little confusing for people to see it for the first time. I will talk about it on my blog and I'll have some separate videos on it, but for right now, that's the main header file, and take a look at it. So references and links. Stepper motor is Brett Statham. And for the Arduino integrated design environment, go to arduino.cc, this link that you see here. And then go and buy a bunch of servo motors at amazon.com. Get the cheap ones, make some fun things, have some fun with it. They make great robots, hilarious art pieces, and just have some fun. I'm Sam Stokes, and this is The Maker Show.